You're listening to the Winter Interview Series on the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at Exmark.com. And Crest Commercial, introducing the 8-Minute Cyber System, the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in commercial battery-powered OPE. Professional landscape can now replace their gas-powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. For more information or to find a Crest dealer near you, visit Crest.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational, to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 438, entitled Interview with Andrew Martinez from Southern Suns Landscape Management. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week, and of course, for the questions, the comments, the feedback that you guys have been sending through. I really do appreciate that. And welcome to the first episode of my winter interview series for the winter of 2023/2024. So without further ado, let's welcome Andrew Martinez to the show. Hey, Andrew, how's it going?
Greetings from the Lone Star State, my friends. Great to be back.
Yeah, this is your third time on the show. That's awesome.
That's right. Yes, it is. You know, I mean, as we were just talking before we jumped on air, I mean, just all these thoughts are going through. It's like, this is Julio Tomei, man. This is a man. This is a myth. I'm just going to tell everybody, you're the godfather.
The
godfather of the green industry podcast world.
That's funny.
Edit that out if you want.
there was a lot of people at the Equip Expo that were coming up to me and calling me that. And I was just like, that's just too funny. And then I started joking on the podcast. I got to make some shirts like that, say like Podfather on them or something like that. And go... And just go from there. But yeah, to refresh some people's memories, the first time you were on the show was episode number 282 in December of 2020. And that was my normal kind of interview episode where I kind of go through all of the sort of get to know you type questions about you and your business and stuff like that. And then we followed up because in that episode, you talked about Christmas lights and that being a large part of your business. So we circled back around in episode 316 we talked quite a bit about Christmas lights in, I think it was August 2021, kind of leading up to that Christmas light season. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, so we're back here again a couple years later and seeing touching base and seeing what's going on. So how have things been? I know we briefly spoke at the Equip Expo. And how was that for you?
Man, it was great. Well, first and foremost, thanks again. Thanks for letting me come back on. It's what you do for the community. And I'm sure you hear this on a regular, but you know, heartfelt, thank you so much for doing that for us. I have to attribute a lot of what podcasts I think people listen to now probably wouldn't exist if Julio wasn't around. So I got to say that. And it's a treat to be back on to cut it up with you, man, and visit with you. But yeah, it was even more of a treat to finally meet you in the flesh there and was able to share some words there at the Quip Expo. It's overwhelming. I think, as you know, and I don't know who all has been there listening to this, but I tell you, I mean, every year you go, you think you're ready. And it's like a roller coaster, the tallest roller coaster you ever get on. It's like, this is the 13th time I've ridden this thing, but every time is like the first time kind of thing, you know? well, for me, it's specifically because my heights and, yeah. But anyhow, it was great. You know, I just was able to, you know, I met you for the first time and it took me a few times to go and finally to link our schedules up. And I know, I think last year you missed, I think it was.
Yep.
And that was my first year going and it was just really amazing. And I didn't even know, I actually went this year And I actually found, I guess, a hardscape side and another wing of the convention I didn't even know existed last year. I thought I saw everything or was at least at everything, and come to find out, I missed a whole wing. So
It's
all pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's absolutely just crazy. It reminds me a lot of Disneyland when I go with my family. And I'm not even talking about like Disney World. I'm talking about Disneyland, like the much smaller original. And it's like, we've gone so many times. I think we've gone like 5 times now as a family. And there's still stuff that I see that it's like, I don't remember this being here. And it's like, it's been there for years, apparently.
Yeah, crazy.
So it's Equip Expo is just like that. Like I go nuts when I'm there. Like I am nonstop from like opening to close, just going booth after booth, and I don't see half of the stuff there. There's like so much that I don't even touch. I'm like, man, 3 days is not enough.
Well, I know that you said you were going to be there this year, so I was going to make it a point. I was like, well, if I always like trying to find people in between, like when we were at the at Naylor Taliaferro's event there, the YouTube rally meetup thing. That those little things like that is what I really appreciate, because you're done trying to make the appearances you need to do, do the commitments with the different brands, and of course you traveled all this way, so you want to see as much as you can and shake as much hands as possible. So in between those times like that, you can actually sit down and actually have a real talk. And I know I kept messaging you on Instagram throughout the day, like, where are you? Where are you at?
Yeah,
yeah. What booth? And then before I could get over there, someone pulled me aside, or I'd go see someone. And then it's already like 2 hours past, and so I was like, no. So it was great to see you, though, at the Xmark booth with everybody else there. So that was really cool. So, I mean, that's what the whole experience is, because even if you're not a personality out there, if you're just visiting and you want to go see everything, maybe look at equipment, really, tune in and see these different booths and stuff. I know we kind of come at it now with a little bit different dynamic, but with those, just even just for shopful purposes or just having a field trip with the crew or yourself and your family, obviously you're going to gravitate to the brands that you use. Obviously you're going to go to the software booths, different booths that are, associated directly with what you do in your business. And then you see everything along the way. So you're constantly moving, constantly walking, constantly. I tell you what, man, Paul Jameson a while back, I think several years ago, said, hey, you need to take some lozenges, gum or something, because you're going to get amongst other things, you're going to get cotton mouth, you're going to keep talking and talking. I'm like, I don't know anybody. I'm just a little fish. I'm not going to need any of that. Dude, this year, man, my jaws were sore. Mm-hmm. I got cotton mouth the whole time. I was so worried the whole time that I would have the white crap in the corners of my mouth. Yeah. And so I'm sorry, a little TMI there, but it's just that, man. And it's a great experience. So, I mean, it's so overwhelming. It's so crazy that the green industry has something, because I think it's like on the top 5 as far as quality, size, or whatever of these different conventions all around, I think the world, for the very least the nation, but I can't remember. But it was amazing.
Yeah,
it was
amazing. It's crazy. The lozenges, that's a great tip. I was doing gum, and it's fine if you're just a spectator, you're not a content creator. I was doing gum, and I totally forgot about it. So then I'm like looking back at some of my videos, and it looks like I'm a horse eating hay. Like I'm just chewing on this piece of gum. I'm like, oh my goodness, that looks terrible.
the jaw motion action, maybe you preserve that, because they're talking and all that. I'm like, lozenges would be perfect. The gum just puts the extra 10,000 miles on your jaw joints there.
But yeah, I was like very cognizant of that, of like trying to prevent the dry mouth and stuff, because you're just talking to like so many people and trying to film, so much content and stuff. And for me, at least, it was like nonstop. It's what I love doing. I love just going there. It's the one place where even now, after so many years of doing like YouTube videos and things like that, it's still uncomfortable for me to some degree, like especially if I'm out in public, like mowing a lawn or something like that. I'm still trying to be incognito with cameras and things for people walking by. Where when I go to like the Equip Expo stuff, it's like I'm full on like Casey Neistat, right? Like I don't care. It's just like put the camera in front of me and I'm totally fine with it because I know that's what people are used to seeing there, right? And that, so it just puts me at this sort of like ease, and so I just go crazy when I'm there filming as much as I can at as many different booths and stuff. Was it
I appreciate you doing that because I know everybody's excited to see you, you know, and I know being around that many humans up in your personal space, you know, can be challenging for a lot of people, it's a thing, and I get it, so I appreciate you just saying okay, here we go. That's your own. That's your own roller coaster. Yeah, as far as being in front of people and stuff.
Yeah, man, it's still not the most exciting. I know with that Xmark sort of event there that I had to go do. Well, I didn't have to. They asked me if I'd do it, so I was kind of pushing myself because it's out of my comfort zone. I'm very shy and kind of still introverted and stuff, right? So I was almost at one point having like a full on panic attack before that, going, "Oh man, like it just I just don't like the attention." And stuff, right? And actually, I was talking to Keith Kalfas about it, and he's like, dude, and he just like gave me some, you know, just relax, just whatever, right? And I was like, okay, that's, you know, it's much better. I'm beside Keith Kalfas. Like, that's so cool. just...
that whole lineup, yeah, I mean, it was like, man, all the greats are standing here. And I got a little Xmark little... I guess cooler bag. I wasn't even there for that, you know, and I was there to see you and see the guys and shake hands and get a couple pictures. And then I guess the line got short and there was still a whole buggy full of the things. I was like, yeah, give me one.
Yeah. Well, that was a funny thing to kind of put into perspective. Like I said, I'm not comfortable with the attention or anything like that. But it was kind of funny to see, like, I'm beside like Keith Kalfas and Jason Creel and stuff, and Ollie Poole, like these big, huge guys, right? And the lineup's like massive, and all these people are coming up and stuff. And then it was funny because obviously there was a ton of people that were there, saw a lineup, and just saw them giving away stuff. So that's what they got in line for. So it was funny because the line would start, and it would start at the one person on the one end and kind of work its way across the end. And then you get the freebie. And then it started like people started skipping the first person and going to, like, straight to Keith, and then going to the next. And then the next thing you know, the line just started diverting and avoiding all four of us and going straight to the freebie. And we were just looking at each other going, well, I guess that's
oh man, that's so funny.
So we were just like laughing. It was like,
I know what it was, because everybody was the first crowd as that time was approaching, that time slot, everybody was there to see, but then maybe more and more people that were maybe getting there probably didn't know who you are, and they just kind of heard, hey, there's a free hand out here.
Yeah, thing, right? Because so. They walk by and they see the carts full of stuff and there people walking away with things, right? It's the same as like every time I walked by the Echo booth, the booth would be not like very busy, like I wouldn't see it to me, but there would be a huge lineup for the free t-shirts that they have, that they were giving up there. And so it was like kind of the same thing. Anytime there's a free giveaway, it's just like, like moths to a flame sort of thing, right?
Well, it's so funny seeing a lot of these folks, people that I don't even follow or follow me. I'll just see them pop up online, both on Facebook and the gram. And there, I think I saw some TikTok things pop up, just the stuff that's like, they have it, like they got back from the trip and they had like, you know, two dozen hats and like four bags. And, you know, they had this whole display of the free stuff that what you're saying, you know,
yeah,
you know, all this collection of stuff. And I'm like, dang, I wouldn't even have enough. I had to check a bag on the way. I had to like buy more luggage to put all this stuff back in there and check it to come back home. And I'm like, I don't want all that. I got a few things, but that's part of it. No, that's part of it though. It's part of the experience. And maybe you can bring all that stuff back and give it to your guys, give it to your kids, or even just, you know, start a collection on the wall in your garage or something with all your trimmers. I don't know, but But now overall, it's always a great experience. And I say on my show all the time, I'm always encouraging people to do live events if it's, you know, a possibility, if it's within reach. That, and if nobody can make it to anything, because I know we talk to a lot of people who are at different levels of business, and sometimes that might be financially or schedule wise out of reach at that time of the year. Different times of year, forgive me, but then that one right there, I always say, hey, if you make the time, if you go anywhere, go to the, you know, Equip Expo, because you get everything there. For the dollars that you spend, you get everything. You have the event itself, you have all the personalities showing up, you have the different booths with the brands and things that are comfortable, that people and the makers, manufacturers, software, like Jobber and Service Autopilot, things like that, they're going to be there. But then over the last, what, number of years, with the influencers and things like that, you have all these cool meetup offshoots off campus, but associated with the with it as well. And they're all free, you know, and then a lot of these brands are even sponsoring them. And so you can now these days, for the guys coming in, you know, the last couple of years, even into the future, you can really maximize your experience out there. I mean, you can, I mean, that's like adult daycare almost, as far as going on this field trip or something like that. I mean, you will literally rock till you drop, you know, from early morning to late at night when you go out there.
Yeah,
you
gotta
be careful. You gotta gauge yourself. It's overwhelming. No, there's a lot going on.
But, yeah, it's absolutely overwhelming. It's pretty crazy, and definitely something that everybody should experience in this industry at least once, to go out there and see. But
what about you, man? Was there anything like new that you experienced, or something that you hadn't seen or been to or experienced in the past here in 2023?
The first time I went was 2019, and that was overwhelming because that was the first time, and it was just crazy. Then, you know, the pandemic happened, all that sort of stuff, so it closed, I think, that first year after that, and then it reopened the following year, but the borders still weren't completely open, so I still wasn't able to cross the border into the U.S., so I missed a couple of years there. But so coming back to it, it was almost like starting from scratch again, because it'd been like 3 or 4 years.
Dang.
So it was still really overwhelming again, and it's gotten bigger on top of that. So yeah, it was one of those things, like I shy away from the outside area. That is just way too overwhelming for me, with all the noise and stuff like that.
There's a lot out there, bro.
Yeah.
A lot going on. It's like 20 acres worth of just gear, and there's so much movement.
And it's crazy. Oh, like, what they let you do is insanity. Like, if you want to dig a hole, dig a hole. It's crazy. Like, I walked by this one, and what the heck were they doing? They were using, like, jackhammers or something. They were like literally like 4 or 5 feet deep in the ground from where like the surface, like there was just this massive hole. They were just going and digging and doing all this. And I was like, that's insane that the expo lets them do this and like completely destroy. Apparently I heard that they have to redo that lawn there, that 20 or 30 acres, whatever it is, outside. They redo that twice a year because there's two trade shows. The Equip Expo is one, and there's another there's another construction one where it's like excavators and stuff, and those two trade shows completely destroy that outside area. So they bring in soil and redo and re-level and replant.
Didn't know that.
So
well, I did hear of last year too. You missed last year. You missed. Hate to bring it back up again, but I'm gonna say it. I think DeWalt jumped the gun on one of their battery powered zero turns, and one caught fire and had the battery fire out there in the yard. I think they had to bury it in the ground or did something to quench the fire. It was crazy, man.
I saw the videos and stuff of that. You know what's funny though too, the first day of the Equip Expo this time, I was meeting up with a bunch of people. Were just having a get together, like dinner at a Mexican restaurant, right, like just outside of the Equip Expo property, like right there. And
I forget the name, but there's a couple people that met up there at different times.
And I was with Paul Kamara and his guy Kyle, and Paul had a rental car and stuff, so we got in the car and we were driving around sort of that back road that kind of circles the grounds there, and I catch out of the corner of my eye and I see smoke in sort of like the back parking lot where there's all these like trailers and stuff from like I guess equipment manufacturers and stuff back there, and there was a bunch of people around and there was another piece of equipment on fire. I don't know if it was gas or if it was battery. They were out in the parking lot, so it wasn't something that was inside the show, and it wasn't by like the
caught fire before you even made it to the show.
It was, yeah, it was crazy. I was like, there's something on fire, right? This, like another, and it was like,
I guess you didn't miss out.
Yeah, it was weird, and it looked like they had like the trailer opened, so it looked like they had just pulled it out of the trailer, and then it like caught fire, whatever it was. But we were just going, driving by so quick that I just kind of caught a glimpse of it, and they, you know, looked and they're like, yeah, and there's like billowing smoke starting and all this stuff. I was like, oh
god,
smokes, there's another thing just but I don't know.
I can't help but to think, if any, for all the 90s folk out there, I can't help to think about Tim Allen looking at it. Oh no.
Too much power. There goes the Binford S2000 something.
Yes.
He rewired it. All right.
The jet engine on a lawnmower.
Yeah, or something like something crazy.
Oh my
like
goodness.
That.
Wow. So I guess you did not miss out. Well, there you go. You still.
So I got to see a little bit of something.
We're able to see some action.
Yeah, a little bit of something. So was there anything for you that stood out there at the expo this year?
Yes, actually. Some of the autonomous stuff. I'm a fan of Skag. I've used Skag as far as my larger mowing equipment, yep, basically since I've been in business. Creature of Habit, I just think they're one of the best ones out there. Sorry, X-Mark. Hey, that's me. But, you know, they don't work with anybody. I have to just say that. I want to put that out there. Yeah, I hope they're listening. I hope somebody picks that up. No, Skag don't work with anybody. I don't know, but I like their mowers, okay?
Yeah.
And they had this one, kind of like an autonomous kind of remote controlled one there at the booth. And it was, and X-Mark I think might've had one as well. Mm-hmm. But they had this like video showing it, and it was best. It was on these like, what are the wheels like track inline wheels instead of a traditional rubber wheel or something like that.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's this beast of a machine, and it was all, you know, autonomous. It was all remote controlled, and it just looked beastly. I saw several of those, and now that I'm thinking about it, I think I might have saw one there at the X-Mark booth as well. There were several of them.
Yeah, and Wright had one too.
Ones like that. That's another one. I was just about to say there were several of them there, and they just kind of blew me away. It's like, wow, look at this. I don't think that'd be conventional, like in what you and I do in our market just yet. But I mean, some of these, like, you know, college campuses, universities, city jobs, you know, things like that, large corporate areas might actually work there, you know. But it just blew me away what they're coming up with, what they're trying to, you know, take the next generation of lawnmower to, stuff like that. And I didn't even want to ask what the price was. So I mean, there was an electric zero turn there. Also, now it already had a $30,000 price tag on it. And it wasn't even like a 60-inch or anything. It was like I think it was a little bit bigger than mine, the 36s. I think it was like 40-something. It was already 30 grand. And I'm like, golly. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So just the different varieties of brands, just the different varieties of the brands that are making these, that what they're coming up with. So like one comes out with one, it hits the market. Then like three more pop up to try to, you know, compete with it. And so that just stood out to me. And I'm sure there's other things out there that probably would have too if I saw all the booths, but come on, I can't see, you can't sit and try everything out with everyone. There's just simply just not enough time. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, that's one thing that really stood out to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't use it. I'm probably never going to use something like that. I shouldn't say never, but so I mean, it's just kind of fictional thinking for me. So I had a great time looking at that, and I did regret I didn't get out to the yard this year. And if I got out to the yard, I would hope that one of those were out there that I could, you know, kind of use. And again, there's other brands that nobody hears of, startups that are getting onto the autonomous, you know, battery powered lawnmowers. And it's amazing what these people are doing with this stuff. So it just kind of stood out to me. It kind of really stood out to me, the different kinds and makes.
What are your thoughts on that sort of technology coming out? Because everything seems to be going that way. Autonomous and robotic and all that sort of stuff. What are your thoughts on that?
Gosh, I mean, I definitely think that's the way of the future. Mm-hmm. I don't know how soon we're going to get there. I know we're trying to make that happen, but I'm a YouTube nut and a documentary history nut. So when I'm invoicing and when I'm, you know, doing scheduling, whatever, I always have something playing in the background on my YouTube. And I've heard way too many documentaries and little mini series about what it takes to make the batteries, what goes into it, just all of it. Mm-hmm. I just don't know in this, I don't know if it's going to take off, you know, where it's sustainable for another couple hundred years. Mm-hmm. You know, I may sound like an idiot to some people talking, but in my opinion, I see where everybody's trying to go. I see what everybody's trying to make. I see that taken over more so maybe in the hand tool market, like what the power tools have done. I know you use a lot of the hedge trimmers. There's hedge trimmers like that, and because they're light. You know, they're a lot better than the gyrating 20-25 pound, you know, gas trimmer. And I get that. And they come at a better price point because they're being more and more perfected. And I could see a benefit both to the economy and also to the, you know, to the user, you know, on both ends, both commercially and also in the residential market. But as far as the big, AI and the robots, I don't see us hanging out there like Will Smith, you know, watching all these, you know, robots do everything for us anytime soon. You know, I think it's trending that way. And I think one day that's probably going to be the future. But then as soon as I say that, on the other side of my mind, I'm thinking, well, you know, there's a lot of these battery sources where they're coming from. That is very finite. So there's very limited number of lithium that can be mined and stuff like that. And I don't know that I have a big question mark there, but as far as like the hand tool market with the battery powered and doing stuff like that, which that kind of takes AI and all that off the table there. Cause I mean, there's not a robot yet or an affordable, easily accessible robot that can trim and sculpt bushes and do stuff like what you and I can do with you know, that human touch. I know I've been long winded here, but it's a very interesting question. And I'm glad you asked that because I'm kind of thinking and I'm thinking out loud and talking to you when you ask for that. Cause I've seen it grow. I've seen a lot of people that I follow you. I know, Abigail Frost out there close to you actually.
Yeah. Hannah Grace Gardens.
She's invested in a lot of, battery powered, you know, handheld gear. And I don't think she's done battery powered mowers and stuff, but to answer your question though, finally, I don't know, man. Long term, I'm not. If it were to happen, I don't see it taking over or being. I don't see it replacing gas in my generation. Could be wrong, but long term, I think that's probably where everything's going to be going.
I don't know,
but I haven't bought any myself just yet. I keep, the only thing holding me back is those batteries. You know, I always like buying two of one and what I have, and you know, I can get a couple trimmers. They're fairly affordable, but then you got to buy all the batteries and the battery ports and everything. Then I got to get an enclosed trailer for all that stuff. Cause right now I have an open utility trailer. I keep everything on, and then that's all we need, man. Is just a good little spritz of rain and I'm stuck. And well, there goes half of my investment, you know.
That's
me. I mean, you work with this stuff, so you can probably answer that better than I could.
It's come a long way in terms of the battery part of it. Some of the stuff I'm working with right now, I've been caught in the absolute pouring rain, like some of the heaviest rain. Actually, just before the day before the Equip Expo, when I had to leave, I was finishing off the last house of the day, and the skies just opened up, and it was like a river of water. Like, literally, when I got to this house, there was so many leaves along the curb that I was like, okay, you're going to have to blow these off and blah, blah, blah. By the time I finished mowing, I hadn't even gotten to that part yet. They were gone. They were going. And I did a story on Instagram, and it was like a river of water. And I was filming myself as I'm trying to mow this lawn with a battery mower. And it's just like the raindrops are bouncing off the ground in the background. You can see how heavy it is. And I got completely soaked. And I was like, if there's any doubt that battery powered stuff can't work in the rain, I just blew that out of the water because all this stuff is working perfectly.
Well, there you go. That punched it. Yeah.
It's like,
well, let me ask you, like, on that, do you think, but that was a one-time shot. And I'm asking out of curiosity because I think in 24, I think I am going to, you know, purchase some pieces of handheld equipment because I've been very curious about it because for the weight, And the use of it, because I've been watching yours amongst other videos, and I'm like, that seems pretty legit. Mm-hmm. Do you think, has it been done like that multiple times, or is it just like the one time in the rain?
I have used it in the rain all the time. No issues. I get back at the end of the day, and the batteries are literally like soaking wet, like on the outside, and I just throw them right on the charger. I don't even dry them off or anything. As long as like the actual contact areas are dry and the way that they're mounted on the tools, it stays dry, like where the actual connectors are and stuff. But the outsides of the batteries can get completely soaked. They're all IPX5 rated, which basically means if you look up the ratings, which is the same scale of ratings for things like cell phones and things like that, you can look up your like IP rating for all of that, which is like an ingress level rating. So for a lot of this battery stuff now coming out, this commercial grade stuff, IPX4, IPX5 basically means you could take that battery and put it completely submerged underwater for 15 minutes and pull it out, and it would not make any difference to that tool. It would completely work.
Well, there you go.
So
glad we had this interview, not just to talk to you again, but that clears something up for me. That's pretty neat. And I see you use Milwaukee a lot. Do you use any other brands?
I started with the Milwaukee. There's where you have to look at some of the differences. The Milwaukee stuff is not rated for weather in the rain. So there's literally like on the tools and stuff, there's a sticker showing a rain cloud with the big X going through it, right? So with those ones, you can't use it in the rain. But some of the other stuff, like the Xmark stuff that I've been using, and the Crest stuff is all fine in the rain. Like batteries can be exposed and all that stuff and not an issue. So yeah, it depends on what it is exactly that you're using. But there's a lot of guys, like even the Milwaukee stuff, I've seen lots of videos of, you know, guys, contractors out building houses and stuff, and, you know, a drill or something gets left out in the rain, and then they just pick it up and start using it again, right? It's like one of those.
Well, I think I might go back to the tried and true. I mean, those drills have been around for a long time, so they've perfected that. But when it comes to like a trimmer, something with a different industry, I mean, they've probably been out a while, but you know, it's not what Milwaukee is built on, or DeWalt, or built on hand tools and stuff. That's what I was talking about earlier on.
Yeah.
But that's actually really awesome. I'm gonna have to get with you here at the first of the year and really pick your brain about what, because I think Abigail, she invested in steel, and I haven't asked her about it since our interviews and just some DMing back and forth on Instagram. So that's cool. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, very, very.
That's encouraging. It's good to know that, hey, at least you'll get some good use out of your investment in that category.
So yeah, and that's good. Yeah, because that was the issue previous, was having to still mix and match on rainy days and take the gas stuff out on the rainy days, and then I'd be able to use the battery stuff on the non-rainy days. So this sort of next generation of stuff that I've been using this year has completely solved all that. I haven't used any gas trimmers
nice.
blowers since August when I transitioned to. Yeah, looking forward to not having to worry. I'm actually trying to clear out all my gas stuff, like getting rid of all like the handheld stuff that I was using for the last few years.
So you're trending towards replacement of everything.
Then. Yeah, pretty much, except for the big mowers. Except for the big mowers.
Sure, right, but the hand use stuff and
yeah,
the well, that's really
and even neat. even the 21s and 30s and stuff that I use. The battery ones.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the one. I guess it was the X Mark that you were using there, the battery one.
Yeah.
And I kind of follow those, and I'm like, yeah, because I watch just like everybody else is watching you and other people out there using this stuff because it is new. I heard it. I think it was last year at the show that like Europe and you know England and all those areas out there. Germany. They've used autonomous battery stuff for a long time. So, I mean, it's like, that's like, oh, y'all are just getting on the bandwagon. That's what I heard.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, we're all the while they've been, they go, that's their go-to. That's basically what we use the engines and, you know, combustibles here. They, you know, they use the battery.
Yeah, yeah.
over there. And I didn't know that. And I heard that, you know, is that the show? From someone, or I can't remember, but at any rate, well, that's very interesting. I appreciate you sharing that because
yeah.
I have wanted to buy some equipment. That's just been one of the few things holding me back.
Is, yeah, yeah.
Is something like
it's
that. Because here in Texas, it's...
Yeah, it's Texas is a different place. You guys are definitely, you know, it's a bit of a, I would say, probably a pushback from some areas like that towards battery equipment. And you got to use whatever is right for you, right? It's not going to solve every
right.
type of property in every scenario.
Well said, yep.
You know, it's, for like, if you're doing acreages and stuff like that, it's going to be a hard sell to use battery stuff, right? I can get away with it because of the types of properties I'm doing. Using like, for instance, this past season, all the leaf cleanups and stuff like that, I did not use a gas leaf blower. I used the battery powered leaf blower. The backpack
nice.
One and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't an issue. But I'm doing small properties, right? So if you're getting into like these massive, you know, properties with crazy amounts of leaves and stuff like that, then
right,
it's yeah. going to be that what you were talking about, touching on the price of equipment, right? That's where you got to kind of balance it. But, you know, at Equip, a lot of people were coming up to me asking me because they'd see the videos and stuff. And they're like, okay, like just between you and me, is it really that good? Like you keep going on and on about it. Like, is it really right? And I'm like, all I'm going to say is
nice.
If you were to fly across the country and come surprise me without me knowing that you're showing up, what you're going to see is me using battery equipment. Like what I say is what's happening is what I'm doing, right? I'm not saying battery is awesome and this is great. And then
yeah.
I'm, you know, using gas stuff all day long and not using battery. I'm using battery. I have used battery since August, full time for everything except for the two, bigger mowers.
That's really cool.
So
that's really neat to know.
It's just one of those things, right? But it's not going to work for everybody. It's different strokes for different folks. And I always say, you got to do what's best for you and your business.
Which that pushed me. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no.
One last thought on that before you move on to the next one. I'm thinking that's probably more for the individual, maybe
yep.
the one to two man crew. I don't see, I've yet to see, companies, you know, with like several hundred sticks and blowers that are battery powered in there just yet and stuff like that. I think that's, in the future, maybe it'll get
there,
but I just don't think it's on the commercial end that may be that much tougher. Now, guys like you, guys like me, Abigail, people like that, we watch our own stuff.
You know?
We're constantly watching. Even if we have somebody using our stuff with us, we can keep an eye on it. So I think that'll help preserve it too.
Yeah.
I just wanted to interject that in there real quick. I think it'll probably work better. On that same note, you were talking about, hey, if this is better for you and your operation, hey, I think it might last a little bit better with the single operation, the individual with a teammate or an individual more so than, hey, here, I'm going to invest 20 grand in battery powered stuff and hopefully they're, you know, and believe they're going to be in the same shape in 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
With, you know, four or five trucks, you know, I could be wrong, but
yeah.
I haven't experienced that myself.
No, I hear you. There's some neat things, though, that kind of just remind me with that Crest stuff that I'm using. Their commercial stuff. Each battery and each piece of equipment has a QR code on it, and they have an app that you can add all the tools that you're purchasing to your fleet, and it'll keep track of all the charging cycles and how much usage that battery's had, the locations it was used. And the other kind of neat thing is if you do have crews and employees and stuff, you can literally like take your smartphone and scan the barcodes for each of the tools each day and sign them out to specific people so that it keeps track of who has what, right?
Wow. Hey, well, that's you're punching holes in my logics and everything with that. It's awesome.
So yeah, it's kind of neat what the future will bring. My only biggest sort of negative that I see when I see like the autonomous stuff and things like that is I just worry about, like, I can see the value in like a single owner operator or a small business. Like, I see the videos that Cam from Lawn Care Life in Missouri, him testing the right ones, and he's like, you know, doing this big acreage, and you know, he pans his camera over and the mower's mowing itself on the other side, or you know, he stops for lunch and pans the camera and the mower's still going, still mowing and stuff, right? So I see the value in that, going, yeah, that's pretty cool, like you could still keep work going and stuff. But then I worry about, like, where's these jobs going, right? Where's, you know, you go to McDonald's now and it's like a board, like a TV that you go and put your own order in. And I went to stopped at Walmart in the summertime. And it was like, even the floor cleaner, it used to be a guy pushing the machine that was cleaning the floors, and now it was automated. I was like, what the heck?
Like,
what the heck? There's I was just like, that's crazy.
Like total recall in here, man.
Yeah, so I worry about that. Like, going, man, all these like jobs, entry level jobs, and things that, you know, people kind of learn and get started on. It's like there's not going to be anything left for people to do if everything's going robotic and automated and all that sort of stuff. It's kind of crazy. So let's just take a quick break, and then we'll get into it again right after this. So stay tuned.
Choosing the right equipment also means getting service and support you can trust. Hi, it's Michelle with the XMART customer service team. We are committed to giving you the expert technical support necessary to keep your equipment performing at its best. Reach us by phone, email, or social media on any weekday, and we will respond quickly with advice you can trust because it comes straight from the folks who built your machines. Visit XMART.com to learn about XMART's industry-leading service and parts support.
Cress is leading the transition from gas-powered lawn equipment for professional use with the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in battery-powered OPE. The Cress 8-Minute Cyber System allows Cress-made 60-volt batteries to fully charge in 8 minutes or less. Now, professional landscapers can replace their gas-powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. And with a full line of equipment benchmarked against gas-powered products, landscapers can finally take charge of their business and make the switch to battery. For more information or to find a dealer near you, visit Cress.com. Cress, we power the professionals.
All right, so let's move on to the next topic that I had listed here. And I wanted to touch base, because it's been a few years since our last podcast episode where you talked about Christmas lights and stuff, and wanted to sort of get, because you really impressed me with the last time we were talking about Christmas lights and stuff, because you were doing it not sort of like off the shelf sort of Christmas lights. You were doing I don't know what you would call them, like commercial grade Christmas lights, where you're buying them on.
I always just call it commercial grade.
Okay,
it's just like our lawn gear, man.
Yeah, so like rolls of Christmas lights where you're actually making them and putting them like right to the sizes that you need and all that stuff, so that it's all
right,
like perfect and stuff like that. So in the like the couple of years, has anything changed in that sense? Like, is it like different types of lights now, or is it still the same sorts of things? How has that industry progressed? Because I know you're pretty heavy into it.
Yeah. Well, great question. I appreciate you bringing that up, because I talk about that a lot, especially at this time of the year for guys like us, the single owner operators, you know, the smaller outfits. It really helps benefit, really adds to the bottom line, gives extra work to the guys. And because I know here in the South, here in Texas, the Lone Star State where I'm at, you know, mowing and lawn and landscaping maintenance really starts shutting down around the Christmas, you know, right after Turkey Day, around Turkey, November through the end of the year, it really starts coming to a halt, right? And so funny, and by the way, the kind of Christmas lights they are custom fitted, custom fitted wire to the house. And basically, I know when people think about Christmas lights, they think about that Joker from back in the 90s. Who is that? Or the 80s? What's his name? Chevy Chase.
Oh, okay. Like the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation or whatever.
People know. Yeah, there. It's kind of like that, where this big wad of Christmas lights, and it just looks like a mess. Looks like these over-the-counter store-bought kind of little things around all over the. Anyways, that's what people more or less think about. I think that's still the general gist of it, right?
Yeah.
But the light sockets that we work with, it's different sizes, but I'd say the primarily go to the bulb itself is it's a C9 gauged multifaceted LED bulb. That's okay. What I only work with LED. Now, there is incandescent out there. I don't believe if you're selling a product that you need to be backing up, you should be selling that. It's, I think you need to go with a higher quality, higher grade, just like our mowers, right? If you're selling something, you want something, if you're putting your name behind it, you're giving a warranty, you want the best, you know, and it just speaks to the quality of, you know, your service. You know, there's a difference, you know, if you're going to be asking money to install Christmas lights, there's a difference there. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of wanted to kind of break that down a little bit. That's what I use. So you're right. We custom fit these things to roof lines, the ridge lines of the roofs. We use hot glue, professional grade hot glue, battery powered, to get around archways, get on stone, brick wide, you know, things like that. It truly is a custom fit Christmas lights to your residence, to your office. And I actually fell into it, basically asked backwards, just because I didn't want to do it, because I said this, I think a little while back, for me, it was the heights. I didn't want to get up on these three-story homes. And in our area, we have everything from a shallow pitched kind of roof to these steep castles of houses, you know, so we have everything. So when you market, you're kind of, I don't know, you're kind of putting yourself out there, you know?
Yeah.
And anyhow, we discovered it, not discovered it, but we knew it was around, and we've heard it being done before in the past. And some guys that were working with me at the time, they wanted to try it out to bring in some extra income to keep working, you know, before the business, before the holidays, you know, to get some extra before it truly shut down. And they're not with me anymore. And mm-hmm. I've been carrying it out for the last 4 years. This is my fourth season doing Christmas lights. And it's actually a part of my business now. Yeah, I officially made it a part of my business last year. And when I say that, it's a service offering. It's on my website. I'm insured for it, specifically for lights and things above the outside of the scope of what I'm insured for lawn and landscaping and things like that. And so it's actually a line item on my service.
Nice.
What I do for service. And so not a lot has changed, Julio.
Okay.
It's still pretty much the same. It's kind of like mowing lawns. You know, the industry's still there. The products, for the most part, don't really change that much. They get better, I guess, mm-hmm. but they're still the same. You know, they're still fairly affordable. You can still make a little business out of them. I've been able to make really cool contacts with other lawn and landscaping professionals in that have been doing Christmas lights, and other people around the nation that, are making great money doing Christmas lights. I have a friend of the show, James Reed with Christmas Mentor. He's on the gram as well. He's been in it for a few years now. And I mean, I think he's making well over, well over $200,000 a season in Christmas lights installations. And that's just your rehangs. That's not brand new.
Yeah.
Go to the store, pick them up for the client and install them. You're coming back the next day, mm-hmm. the next year, and rehanging them for people. So that's a thing too. Blew my mind from year to year. Never knew that a little while back. And I guess to answer your, so the opportunity of meeting people, talking numbers, and being able to refer this and share this information with other people in my same situation, a little bit larger businesses, they're applying it. They're making, you know, 100,000 plus more in revenue every year, mm-hmm. you know, because it's just one of those hidden gems, been around a long time, but nobody's really talked about it. And I've heard more about Christmas lights in the last number of years than I ever have professionally. Now, it may be one of those things where, hey, you want a red Corvette, you see red Corvettes everywhere when before you didn't.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. In a nutshell, that's basically where we're at. I mean, I don't have a large operation in it. You know, mm-hmm. We have about 50 properties we're rehanging this year to year. I didn't do a lot of advertisement because I didn't want to overwhelm myself and then not be able to get to commitments because it's just me. It's me and my teammate that are installing them right mm-hmm. now. And so I had to put the end of season maintenance on the shelf for a little while so we get through and make sure everybody to a certain point has their Christmas lights up so they can enjoy yep. what they're investing into year to year for a good portion of the end of the year going into the first of the year as we take them down. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want them to just be up for a week or two and you pay $500-$600 for a rehang and you enjoy them
yeah,
a couple
absolutely.
Weeks or something.
Yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
So I hope that answered your question. I know
yeah.
it's long-winded.
But. Yeah, no, absolutely. I used to do a ton of Christmas lights when I first started in my younger years. My brother-in-law would get together and work together on those days because we'd have separate lawn care businesses, but we'd get together for certain jobs. Christmas lights was one of those ones where you always got together. He was more of the monkey, not afraid of heights and stuff. I was more kind of a little bit more sketchy on the heights and stuff, but I would manage to get, you know, some of them done and stuff like that. But yeah, we used to do a ton, but there was no, like commercial grade lights at the time. It was like, you know, literally go to your big box store and buy lights and make it work for whatever. Right.
I'm kind of curious to see how y'all did that. Cause I'm accustomed to using these kind of lights, you mm-hmm. know? So I'm curious to see how you did that.
Yeah. We would just like come
you know,
up with
a business out of that.
Yeah. Come up with a plan with a certain amount. It was kind of a pain cause every house was different and how you could attach it was different. Some houses had like wood trim and stuff that we could use like insulated staples for, like electrical staples. Some of them you didn't have that option, so you had to buy clips, and some of them were vinyl siding. So it was always sometimes you'd think you'd spent more time at the store trying to figure it out for like a new install than trying to, you know, actually doing the lights. As we got a bit older, it got a bit more sketchy, especially with me. I had some injuries on my knees and stuff that always flare up when it comes to ladders and stuff. So I stopped offering the service for that. I did my own Christmas lights a few weeks back. And just doing my own house up and down the ladder, by the end of it, I was like, yeah, I gotta stop. Otherwise, this knee's gonna give out any second now, and I don't want it happening while I'm on the ladder. So, unfortunately, haven't done it. But it's so cool to see because we used to always like people would want like the little. There was no LEDs either back then, so it was all incandescent lights. But some of them wanted like the mini lights and stuff, and we always hated hanging the mini lights because they were like the twisted wire, and it was like you can't make that look nice, right? It was so we always
really
preferred
can't.
The regular bigger bulbs because we could like staple them and all have them all perfectly pointing down in the like nice direction, and it just looks so really nice and tidy. And then if you had too much extra, you had to figure out a way to hide the end of it like without bulbs in it or whatever, like roll it up and sort of thing. But so so it's kind of cool to see that now you guys can custom fit them to the houses and make them work that way, which gives it so much better appearance than the old days, the old styles.
I remember when I was a teenager, I did that. I did the icicle lights, and I didn't know any better. I didn't know these things were even out there. And at that time, 20, 30 years ago, maybe they didn't. Mm. But, I went up to CVS, which was Eckerd's at the time.
Okay.
And I just bought, you know, these 15, $10, $15, what you're talking about with the twisted wire but they were the icicle kind, and I wanted to do it for my mom, you know, because, you know, she ain't going to get out there and do that. She's a teacher at the time, and she's just got too much going on. Anyways, and so, I mean, I just did the front of my house, just a simple roof line. I didn't go up the side or get on a high ladder or anything like that, and, I mean, it just... It was hard to work with. It took all day, like half the day, exactly what you were talking about. So it could be, I had to get them just straight. You had to pull them to get them straight looking to be even. So I see what you were saying. And it's, I give you props for even trying to make a little business out of using that stuff. It's just, but you know what I'm saying? When this stuff, it differentiates us as a service, an actual bona fide insured service to hang custom fitted lights professionally on your home versus something like that. And I don't want to sound like I'm dissing that. It's, they're two different worlds, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is what it is, man. And we're really enjoying it. You know, like you, I stay off the ladder as much as I can. A new teammate with me this year, I always wonder at the end of every year if I'm going to find people to help me out because man, half of the houses I have, I'll get on roofs and I'll do what I can, but there always comes this one point, this one area. It's just always real tough, but I've been blessed enough to have guys to get on these, as you would say, sketchy ledges or these sketchy areas of roof and hang these things, you know. But I tell you, it definitely helps out with the income side as your season starts really going down, you know. It goes from weekly visits to bi-weekly visits, no more shrubs, no more bedding for the most part, you know, because it's getting colder, everything's not growing or it's very slow, you know. It's really helped out. And you know, like I said, I haven't blown up huge just yet. It's just, you know, like anything else, I just want to, because if you get too many people, you can really lose the commitment. And I know, was it last year or the year prior? I think it was last year where I started bringing on too many newer clients. Maybe it was the year prior. Too many newer clients. And then I wound up pushing a handful of my repeats into early December. And that's not fair. You know? They were there first, you know, they made the initial investment. They're waiting for their lights to go up, and it just, you truly had to stick to a schedule, literally get to your rehangs before you start bringing on new people, or make sure they have priority, because that's just like your weekly accounts, on your lawn and landscaping, you know, things like that. But I have to say one thing, and I'll throw this in there too, as far as anything's changed, I've made it a real discipline on scheduling, actually, to start hanging. And I've told all my people, I start sending emails out in August that, hey, we're going to start hanging Christmas lights in October, which is a long time, what, 8 weeks before November, right? And so I was like, my whole thing is I want these up for you. You don't have to turn them on, but I want them up for you. I want them positioned. So come early November, you don't have anything to worry about. By that time, you can tell yourself if you want to plug them in or not. Or usually, the most popular time to do it is after Turkey Day.
Plug
it in. Have me go put a timer on it. But they're up. We don't have to worry. So
that makes sense. Yeah. For me, just on my own personal Christmas lights at my house, it's kind of the same way. I do it right after Halloween. As soon as Halloween is done and decorations go away, I pull up the Christmas lights and I'm like, I get them up as soon as I can, because to get to my second level, it's kind of inset from the first ground, like the first level roof line. So I have to actually walk along the roof of the first level to hang the lights on the second level. And it's like, if I wait too long, then the frost hits and there's no way I'm walking up there, right? So it's like, as soon as Halloween's done, it's get up there as quick as I can. I don't have to turn them on, just want to hang them and get them up and ready to go, and then they're done for that to go through there.
Same, and you're dealing with a whole other climate up there. I mean, we get cold mornings, you know, and frost here and there, but by 9 o'clock it's all dried up again, melted off and dried up again. Up there, you have a totally different challenge. Absolutely. I'm glad you do that.
Yeah, it's
oh my goodness,
it's nuts. I remember when I was doing them it was those days, it was so cold that you could barely like squeeze the trigger on the stapler because it was so cold, or moving the ladder around. It was just like so, the metal ladder was like so cold, even with gloves on, you could feel the, it was just like, oh man, your hands were numb by the end of the day. You could not.
These old teats.
Yeah, it was crazy. Is there anything that you, either with Christmas lights or, you know, now that your lawn care season is wrapping up, anything that you've kind of like reflected back for this past year that you've maybe thought that you have to do differently for next year, or maybe a service you want to add or anything like that?
Two things that come to mind immediately with the operation and the business itself. I found out this year, I kind of put myself in a bind because I tried to expand, I tried to grow a little bit, and I tried to have someone, I tried to have a crew running independently from me since the first of the year into when my last guy left, or the last guy who left was in like, I think July or something like that. It got me in a financial bind, man. I'm strong enough to admit that, just because, you know, I'm a small operation. Again, I'm basically owner operator. I'm a glorified chuck in the truck, you know, but, you know, we did that. And I tried to get to projects, get on top of like emails and things, start setting up a little bit more and working on the infrastructure I have for Christmas lights and other things in the business that I want to get ahead of or get on top of, and not necessarily get out of the field 100%, but have a crew running independently from me full time. And I just wound up, you know, not training right, not being on the truck watching. I just wound up spending a bunch of money, and you know, the work wasn't being done the way I was really hoping it was going to be, you know? And so I just, for me, training, spending more time, having a, you know, maybe going out and looking at properties a little bit more when stuff like that are happening before the guys know exactly what they're doing, and working on density, just, you know, making it better. So I'm getting my money's worth as they're out there producing, and the client number one is getting the best result from what they've been accustomed to, you know? And I know it's not going to be perfect. Like when you and I are out there, you know, hire somebody else, you know, it's a job to them. This is our name. This is what we've, our livelihood. We've, you know, we provide for our families this way. Not everybody is going to think that way. And I've come to terms with that, but it's still your, it's still the job you need to get done and get done the right way. And I have the one fellow I was telling you about, he's been with me all year up to this point, and he actually turned out really good. You know, he's a young guy, young kid, he's 18, very hungry, trying to get out there and get it done. He's curious about stuff, very prideful in his work. And I'm grateful for him, but I went through about five duds, man. And along the way, I just, you know, I lost a bunch of money and had to replace things, and stuff got broken, and I lost clients. So it's just one of those things. And I'm actually worried. That's that side. That's one of them. And number two, I'm actually going to work more on poop scoop going into 2024. I've made that, and I think we mentioned that here a little while back, the last time I was on the show, but I've actually interjected that into my business as part of a service offering. You pull up, you mow the lawn, and instead of leaving the stuff there, and I know this is what you do, and I was actually thinking about going to this model. Hey, I'm charging you. I'm not picking it up. Here. It's inconvenient. I'm going to charge you for it. But sometimes these people won't pick it up, and instead of losing the client, because eventually it's just going to turn into this awful, nasty experience that you don't want to go back there, right? Because it just keeps getting accumulated, or if they go pick it up, it's not the way you would pick it up. And anyways, so I'm going to probably put a little bit more emphasis on that. And just like Christmas lights kind of make that its like own business within the business, because that'll bring in some perennial work as well, and the overhead is very low, and you could, you know, spend more on a tech to go out and do it for you throughout the year, and you, that's extra work you can hand down to the people, some of the people you have on your staff, you know, for that as well. And it's not glorious, not glamorous, but you know what, it kicks up another 15-20% on your visit ticket, you know, across the board, you know, and that's really helped out a lot, you know. So not a lot has changed, bro. Not a lot has changed here. And it's just trying to you know, keep fine tuning, keep those T's crossed and I's dotted to make sure, you know, you're staying profitable, ensure that your business is sustainable, you know, in the future. That's kind of what I've been working on over here in the Lone Star.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting you saying, with the dog waste stuff that some people won't, clean it up like you would clean it up completely, different. Like when I'm mowing a lawn, like my own lawn, if my daughter's boyfriend brings his dog over and stuff, right? I'm always like telling my daughter, like, make sure the backyard's clean. Like we had a dog for 15 years. Yes. I cleaned it all the time. I'm not cleaning up other people's dog waste.
And
you want to make sure, right? Because people will just go, they do it kind of haphazardly or quickly. And I've had clients do that too, because of the policy of being charged. They'll wait until I get there and then they'll come out and, pick up a couple and then go inside.
I've heard one of your episodes about that.
And it's
you
like,
talked about that one time. Yeah.
And it's like, if you're coming out and I'm already here, it's too late. You're getting charged because I'm already trimming. I'm not waiting for you to trim and you're not going to get to all of it by the time I'm done. And now I've got to watch where I'm walking and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I can hear you on that side. I can see the balance there. So the other thing I wanted to touch on before we wrap up this episode is your podcast, the Lone Star Lawn Talk Podcast. Tell people about that. How long have you been doing it? And
So it kicked off in January of 22.
Okay.
And because of guys like yourself, super humble tumbleweed down here, wanted to join the community and add to their area if they could. Now, that was me, man. And like I was saying earlier on in our talk, guys like you, had you not struck that match back in, what was it now, 16 or 17 when you started?
2015,
yep. Ooh. Well, there you go. And you had been doing it a while. I'll never forget. I remember where I was, what lawn I was doing when I for the first time came across the Lawn Care podcast. And it was the only one out there at the time. This was back in 17.
Yep.
I was mowing a builder spec home, some lawns out there for some builders. And I wasn't having that great of a day. I was by myself. It was hot, humid, and I had a huge, I had to get all of this whole route done because the higher ups are coming in from Houston to check out the properties and all that. So I was going to be there from dark to dark. And I was. And that's when I discovered your podcast. And it was inspiring, man.
Cool.
So thank you for everything you do once again.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I'm just a product of what you had already been doing for a long time. And I kicked my podcast off in the green industry back in early last year. It was almost going on 2 years now.
Okay.
And it's just been great, man. It's just an extra thing to do for the community to help people flourish and I'll be saying the show. The goal in the show is to keep margin not just in your pocketbook, but also in your calendar. So
nice.
That's what we center the show around. We bring guests on, we do different things like that to promote that, because you and I, anybody out there we've slid on the dog dungs out there, there's a reason why the dog dung is out there. We've had it whipped in our face before, we've mowed people's house and done projects for free.
Yep.
We've paid them to work on their projects, and I just want to see the elevation of the industry as a whole just go up. So I wanted to join that network like what you guys do and just contribute. And it's been just great. It's been a blast. Made new friends, new relationships. Mm-hmm. We get to it's made these like live events more enriching, because I'll meet people that maybe listen to your podcast or listen to another podcast and I heard you on Julio's and I listen to your podcast. It's a stretch. It's work. And you know it is personally. You've been doing it a while.
Yep.
But then whenever you have somebody come up and tell you a story that maybe they listen to a guest or they pick up a line that you talked about on the show that helped their business,
yep,
man, that's just the cat's meow.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes it all worth it. So, but yeah, we'd love to have more listeners. We'd love to have, if once you're done here listening to Lawn Care Business Success, come on by and listen to this humble tumbleweed yak on. We've had some really cool guests. I'd like to get you on, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted to get you on that, on this same session, but, I don't know if the time will allow, but we'd have to get you on over there too, finally. And, but that's what we're doing over there in the Lone Star Lawn Talk. It's just more of the same great content, more of the same great stuff you talk about here, just in a different perspective, man,
different
but
flavor.
It's all adding to this. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That's awesome. I always tell people the story of, you know, when I started
out, next flavor.
Yeah. When I started out, back in 2015, like nobody knew what a podcast was. And people were just, they were like, what is that? What are you? And it was just something that only like the nerds knew about, sort of thing. And I remember
a few
years on, people, asking me for permission to start a podcast. And I was like, I don't own podcasting, right? That's not how it is. It's like YouTube, right? I'm not going to go and ask somebody if I can start a YouTube channel and just going to start one, right? Just the more the merrier. Over the years, like a lot of these guys have come on, and started their own podcast. Some guys are doing daily podcasts. Some are doing three times a week. And mm-hmm. I experimented with a little bit of that, but I just went back to just doing one a week. And it was like, you know, this is all I want to do is just a one episode a week, maybe two episodes a week during certain times of the year. So there's room for everybody. There's just so much. You know, mm-hmm. even if you're one of the guys that is out there doing them every day, it's still not like 8 hours of the day. There's still time for people listening to fill that extra time in with other podcasts. There's so mm-hmm. much space out there. So yeah, the more the merrier for that. So that's awesome. Is it available everywhere that people would expect to find their podcasts?
Yes, it's on all major platforms. It's on the Google, it's on Spotify, it's on the iTunes, Apple
awesome.
Podcasts, it's on all that and everything in between. I'm one of those guys that try to do it three times a week. Late last year, I decided to bring my podcast from two times a week to three times. I don't know why I did that, but now I'm kind of committed to it. And it's just one of those things. And when you're out mowing or putting up Christmas, doing whatever you do, and then you're dealing with family life. And then now it's, you know, I like having interviews because I don't have to, I was going to sound terrible. I don't have to work as hard.
Yeah.
I just sit there and interview and really just do this, just hang out and have a great conversation and just hang out, you know, and then produce it. But then you know, if you're by yourself, you're like, oh man, I want to make sure that, you know, the topic's right. And I'm saying all the things the right way and I'm not making any sense, you know, and I'm hoping I'm making sense and I don't know. It's just better that way.
Yeah.
And so, you can find us on all major platforms, Lone Star Lawn Talk podcast. We do come on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Awesome. Yeah. I hear you with that. When I started doing it, it was definitely easier for me personally to do solo episodes than the interview ones because of my introvertedness. The years have gone by, because I'm, you know, eight years into it, I literally now it's much easier to do interview episodes. I will literally sit, you can ask like my wife and it'll be like, I'm sitting there for like 7 hours during, you know, the weekend or something. And she's like, have you figured out a topic yet? I'm like, I have no idea. It's been so, what do I talk about after eight years?
Yes.
Right? It's like, it's one of those things, right? That it's just easier to get a different person's perspective doing interviews.
That's right.
And stuff.
Yeah.
So I look forward to these winter interview series, and I thank you for being guest number one for this series of them this year. I have one final question for you.
Yes, sir.
And that is, lawn care landscaping is one of those jobs. Now, for very few people, I would say probably less than 1%, it would be a job that when they grew up as a kid, they may have looked at and maybe they loved bulldozers or whatever the case may be and thought, you know, that's what I want to do. But as a kid, young Andrew Martinez, What was it that you, what was the dream when you were young, the sort of job? Was it, you know, were you going to be an NBA player? You know, whatever the case may be, what was it that you wanted to pursue? For me, I've talked about growing up and being into technology and all that stuff and pursuing audio engineering. And I thought that was my path, that I was going to be like record producer, recording albums and all that sort of stuff, and kind of pursued it a little bit after high school, went to school for it, and then kind of learned that it's fun on my own doing it, but I don't want to do it for other people sort of thing. My attention span just doesn't allow it. What was sort of the dream thing when you were a little kid, the dream occupation?
Good question, man. Good cherry on the ice cream for the show there. I actually wanted to be an accountant for the police department.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
I'm just joking. I'm just messing with you.
I'm thinking in my head, what the hell kind of kid wants to be an accountant?
Mission accomplished.
What was the size of your piggy bank that you were like?
No, that nut Will Ferrell, he had one. It was a movie, The Other Guys. That's okay. What he did, and it was just. It just sounded appropriate. Yeah. No, man. I mean, I think I was just kind of like all the other kids. You mentioned like bulldozers and, you know, I like Transformers and Optimus Prime and all that kind of stuff. And I think I just, you know, when I looked in the future, I just, you know, I saw I could be a police officer. I could be an army man, you know, with the guns, you know, that kind of stuff. Definitely liked big equipment because of my grandfather. Both my grandfathers, when I would visit them, when they would work out in the shop, I would always be with them. In my junior high, kind of like towards the end of my elementary years, junior high, getting into high school, kind of, I guess between 12 and 14 kind of age, I would always be out with them, working in the shops, messing with tools. I would help them do little miniature lawn and landscaping cleanups and land pavers. I'm not saying I wanted to dream to be a lawn and landscape guy, but I like this, what you had mentioned, you know, the sentiment of the power equipment and things like that. Yeah. I kind of, you know, I took two. I was like, man, that's really cool. I think I was just like the average kid, you know, be a cop, be a nurse, be a teacher, you know, be a dad, you know, be that kind of stuff, you know? And then I think in college, as I was going through college, I think that's when I wanted to say, hey, I think it'd be really neat to start a lawn and landscaping business, not knowing what the hell I was talking about. But I didn't know lawn and landscaping as I know it today. But I thought that'd be kind of a cool. I would see the grounds guys as I was attending university. Yep. I saw the grounds guys there. Then I would see other little guys like, you know, like operations like yourself and like mine now doing that kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh, man, that's kind of cool. And that's how it kind of all progressed. And then I spent some time in the professional world and got laid off. And then that's where, you know, I actually did that in high school for a while. Mowed lawns. I call it mowed lawns for paintball and girlfriend money.
There you know.
And how did I know I was going to do it later on in life? But I know it's probably not the most, you know, the most grand answer, but I think that's just kind of, I think I always kind of liked the outdoor stuff. I like the equipment like you were talking about yet again and that kind of stuff. And I don't know.
That's awesome.
But I think just like any, you know, just like any kid, you know, play cops and robbers, you know, and all that kind of stuff, man. So, but
that's awesome.
That's kind of where it is.
Yeah. My,
that's where it is.
My nephew, who is a police officer now, when he was young, every time you asked him, you know, what you wanted to be when you grew up, he said a garbage man. And I remember one of his parents looking at him with a puzzled look on their face going, a garbage man? Why? Huh. And he looked at them like they were strange and said, because you get to ride on the back of a truck. And that was his motivation. He was like, you can just imagine like a little kid watching the old style garbage, you know, the guys hanging off the back of the truck going, that is so cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, man. I mean, in that same scope. That's absolutely. That's pretty cool. You're absolutely right. You see this little you know, yard high, 3 foot big kid, little kid there driving by, this big, massive piece of machinery comes through all the time, and guys are just hanging off, having a good old time.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
That's great.
So, thank you, Andrew, for coming on to the podcast for your third time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, pleasure's all on this side of the microphone, my friend. No, this is, it's always a treat to get on your show. And thank you for having me, and thank you for doing the deed since 2015, man. You keep on keeping on. That's awesome.
Awesome.
I love it.
Thank you so much, and you're always welcome back. So there you go, Lawn Care Nation. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that value-packed interview episode with Andrew Martinez from Southern Sons Landscape Management. Make sure you guys go check out his Lone Star Lawn Talk podcast and give him a review on iTunes and all of the other places that you can leave your reviews for podcasts. That's super appreciated. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.